Second Chronicles chapter 20. If you got to look at the table of contents, go ahead. Ain't nobody mad at you. That's wise. Hey, man, that's wise to do. Second Chronicles 20. I want to start at verse 3. And I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4, and then we're just going to get right on in it. Will you have it? Say amen. If you don't, just say, wait on me, Reverend. Wait on me. Wait on me. Amen. Second Chronicles 20, verses 3 and 4. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all over the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Let me just keep reading. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of my ancestors, you alone are God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our Lord, that you not drive out those who lived in this land when the people Israel arrived, and that you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham. Your people settled here and built the temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir are doing. You will not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. We don't know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. I want to talk to you today, this morning, from the topic, finding God in the crisis. Finding God in the crisis. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, be of good cheer. God is capable of being found in the crisis. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the strength and the power of your word. We thank you for what you are going to do in our hearts today through your word. God, I pray that we set our hearts and our minds upon you, that we may glean from your word. God, help us not to fall into the sin of just being hearers of your word, but that we will hear your word and that we will act on your word and act on what you are calling for us to do. And it's in the powerful, strong name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. As you're taking your seats, if you ain't said nothing to your neighbor all morning, say something to them. Give them a compliment. Let them know they got the best seat in the house. Amen. By sitting next to you. Finding God in the crisis. One of the most uncomfortable feelings in the world is being smack dab in the middle of a crazy situation and don't know what to do. One of the most hopeless feelings is seeing calamity and trouble all around you, Brother Steele, and have no idea what to do. To add on top of that, one of the second most annoying feelings is to be the leader of something and trouble happens and you don't know what to do. It is annoying to be the head of something, husband, wife, father, mother, caregiver, and there's trouble going on all around you and you don't know what to do. It's a helpless feeling when you're out there by yourself, but it's even more of a helpless feeling when you are the one that everybody else sees the trouble that's going around and they're coming looking to you and asking you, how are we going to get out of this? How are we going to fix this? In fact, they're not even owning responsibility and saying, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to turn things around? In fact, they walk away stress-free. In fact, they walk away, just their blood pressure is at normal level because they just thought, I know Pastor going to take care of this. I know mama and daddy going to take care of this. I know the leader, the boss, the supervisor, whomever is going to step up and do what needs to be done. But what do you do when a leader don't know what to do? Where do you go when those in charge and they get paid to do the job and they have the credentials for the job and they don't know what to do? Am I by myself this morning? Has anybody else ever been there? Maybe you may not be a leader of an organization, but you're a parent and something is going on and you're trying to figure out how in the world am I going to solve this? You're a husband, you're a wife, you're taking care of people and you're trying to figure out how in the world am I going to solve this? I don't know what to do. And everybody is looking to me for answers and I have none. Are you in good company this morning? Because King Jehoshaphat knows exactly how that feels. To be a leader, to be in charge, you have trouble going on around you. In fact, he even paints the picture to say, hey, listen, there are great armies that are getting ready to come up against us. They're not coming up against us to play high five and play tic-tac-toe. They're coming up against us to be able to wipe us out and to kill us. And I'm the leader, and I have no idea what to do. Jehoshaphat teaches us something about hunger. Jehoshaphat teaches us something about appetite. We know that we're in part two of this series entitled Hungry for God. And we know that sometimes hungry and our appetite can come aware in different scenarios in different places. And if you're mindful enough, people of God, if you stay close to God long enough, as you walk with God, you will begin to understand that sometimes God will allow for calamity and will allow for trouble and will allow for crazy things to jump off in our lives only to entice our appetite for more of him. So I got to ask you a question this morning. I'll be a little nosy today and ask you this question, that when you get in trouble, are you hungry for God or are you panicking? When you get in trouble and there's calamity going on all around you, is your first instinct is to be able to cry out to God, or is your first instinct is to make a post on social media about what's going on in your life, and now you got people screenshotting what you have put up, not to help you, but to keep it in their pocket for next go around, to display your vulnerability and your weakness. And you got trouble in your home. Does that lead you to be hungry for God? When you got trouble on your job, when you got trouble in your marriage, when you got trouble in life, when you just got trouble that just pops up out of nowhere, does it create an appetite for more of God? Or do we fall prey to fear and anxiety and worry and panicking? Now, we can all be honest and here this morning. It's the transparent moment that we can have together. But all of us in this room, I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you have walked with God, what your title may be, how good your dance may be, how many tongues you may speak in, all of us somewhere in our life, maybe it was in the beginning journey as we walk with God. Maybe it was in the middle of the journey. Maybe it's been later on in the journey with walking with God, that when something has happened in our lives, when we should have cried out to God for help, we panic. Don't leave me out here by myself. Don't look at me like that, y'all. That when trouble has happened in my life, my first instinct should have been to pray, but I worry and I've added pressure on myself in trying to solve something that I don't have the power to do. Jehoshaphat introduces us to two spiritual disciplines as believers that we need to grow comfortable and familiar with, and that's prayer and fasting. Jehoshaphat shows us something, what God has the capability of doing when we cry out to him, when we reach out to him, when we become hungry for him, that he has the power to be able to intervene and work things out on our behalf. Jehoshaphat gets word. Moabites and the Ammonites are getting ready to come and take him and all of Judah out. He's trying to figure out, okay, I should not be panicking. I should not be worried. I should not be afraid. But the Bible says that Jehoshaphat does get worried. He does get a little anxious. He does get a little fearful because he hears that not only do I have some armies coming up against us, but we have some great armies, big armies, bad armies, strong armies that are getting ready to come and take us out. And as a leader, I told you it's a helpless feeling when you got trouble all around you and people looking to you. They're not looking trying to figure out how we can help the problem. They're looking to you, how are you going to figure this out? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What's the plan? What's the strategy? And not only does he have the fear of what's going to happen if he does not move, he has the pressure from people. Can't nobody add pressure on your life and your blood pressure like folks. That's looking. What you gonna do? They texting, they calling, they emailing, trying to figure out what are you going to do? What are you going to say? What's going to be our next move? Jehoshaphat is stuck. What do I do? What do I say? And the Bible, look at verse 3. We preach the word of God here. It says Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news. His first instinct was not to cry out to God. His first instinct was not to trust God. He was terrified by the news, saints of God. Even though he was king, even though he was leader, he had a human moment where he was stuck and he was scared and did not know what to do. Now, that may be our first instinct, Brother Trotter. That may be our first thing that we do. But let me encourage us to say this morning, don't stay stuck there. Don't stay right there. Don't stay stuck in fear. Don't stay stuck right there where you are nervous and you're worried and you're anxious, because nothing is going to come out of that. In fact, what ends up happening, the enemy will meet us in our fear and will meet us in our anxiety, and he will blow up and amplify our fear, our worry, and our anxiety. Play tricks in our minds. Yeah, you see those armies? You see what they're working with? They got ChatGPT. They got AI. They done created some stuff. Do you see what you are? He will use our fear and our worry and our anxiety to shackle us to stay right there and never make a move. But look at what the latter verse says. I love it right here, saints of God. It says, even though his first instinct, he was terrified by the news, but he begged the Lord for guidance. He ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all over the towns came to Jerusalem to be able to seek the Lord's hope, the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord. He begged the Lord to come in. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the courtyard of the temple, and he began to pray. Here's what Jehoshaphat does, and he teaches us again the two most powerful principles, spiritual principles of disciplines of prayer and fasting. When we find God, in the crisis when our need that I have drives us to prayer and to fasting. We find God in the crisis when our calamity and our trouble and the pain and the annoyance of what's going on drives our hunger to seek after God. That's good. And not fear. Jehoshaphat stands up and he begins the leaders. Jehoshaphat stands up and he leads the people into a time of prayer and fasting. Jehoshaphat realized, hey, what we are up against, what we are facing is bigger than us. And this, what we are facing, cannot be done through human power. What we are facing, what we are up against is bigger than us, and we need the divine intervention of God. I love this right here, because here's what Jehoshaphat does not do. He does not go and seek out his cabinet and be able to ask them what they should do. Jehoshaphat, he was caught by fear, but he didn't allow fear to keep him there. He begged God for guidance, and God leads him and gives him a strategy on what to do. And God's strategy was, call the people together to fast and to pray. Our needs ought to drive us not to worry, not to panic, not to worry, not to be fearful, but our need must drive us to prayer and fasting. All right, Pastor, okay, what is fasting, okay? I like the way Dr. Tony Evans, how he defines fasting. He says, giving up a physical desire for a greater spiritual need. Real simple. Giving up a physical desire, hunger. Oh, my gosh. Can I just go ahead and testify about Wednesday? Oh, y'all clap it, but you're not going to like what I have to say. I had a headache and was nauseous all day. I thought I was going to pass out, and I had to sub. I said, mercy to God. I can't have no snacky snack as I'm subbing. I ain't had my coffee. I ain't had my hash brown, extra crispy from Dunkin' Donuts. I said, wait a minute. Why did I sign up to sub today? Of all days. Giving up a physical desire for a greater spiritual need. So in fasting, we say, Lord, what I'm needing from you is greater than my hunger pains. Lord, what I'm desiring and needing you to do in my life is worth me pushing back the plate for a day, for 2 days, 3 days, however long, oh God, so that you can be able, because here it is, saints of God, fasting is not just about a solution to our problems. Fasting is about God reorienting us and getting us ready and getting us in position and getting us right. Fasting is not a way for us to be able to manipulate God to get us to move on our behalf. It is us coming to God and pushing back our place so that God can be able to do a reorientation on the inside of us to cause us to put him back in his rightful place in our lives. Giving up a physical desire for a greater spiritual need. My grandmother used to always tell me, she said, you can always tell the life of the preacher outside of church by the response of his wife. She said, when the preacher is preaching and his wife ain't saying nothing, that means he ain't living nothing outside of the house. So I thank God Sister Swim said something, because it testifies and let the folks know that I'm living something outside of the four walls of 400 East Main Street. Giving up a physical desire for a greater spiritual need. That the intervention, the help that I'm needing from God is greater than my hunger pains. Then he doesn't stop right there. He says, I want us to fast. Call all the people for us to fast. But I want us to pray. And prayer is simply getting God involved in our affairs. Do you see the recipe here? He's cooking. He says, all right, we got a crisis, but we're not going to be overwhelmed by the crisis. We have a problem, but the problem is not going to overwhelm us. We have an issue, but this is not going to be the end of us. What we are going to do corporately as a body, we're going to follow the leader, and we're going to fast. And we're going to pray, because we have a spiritual need that is far greater than the hunger pains that we will ever experience. And we're going to add along on with that is that we're going to get God involved in our affairs. Sometimes the trouble and the crisis that we experience in our lives last longer than they should because we don't get God involved. Let me say it again. Sometimes the crisis and the calamity and the problems and the issues that we face in our lives last longer than they need to because we don't get God involved in our affairs. the other day, I got the girls McDonald's, and so they were eating there, eating their chicken nuggets, and Kenny, they love sweet and sour sauce. You know, I had to buy some extra sweet and sour sauce, because if it gets down to just one thing left of sweet and sour sauce, and Kenny still got two nuggets, and Carrie got three nuggets, and all they got is one package of sweet and sour sauce, you think it's a showdown at the house. I mean, they get to talking back and forth, trying to figure out how we can't split this up. It's not that much for two people. We need our own. I'm trying to figure out what to do. So I have learned to go ahead and pay the extra money they charge now for extra sweet and sour sauce. I've gone ahead and paid the extra money for the extra sweet and sour sauce so that there can be peace in Jerusalem. Amen. I just go home and just get it, throw it in the bag. It's going to cost you. I don't care how much it costs. I don't want to have to face the calamity of my girls arguing about sweet and sour sauce. And Kenny is there trying and struggling with trying to open the sweet and sour sauce. And she's sitting there frustrated. And I hear her fussing and being mad. And I go in there. I said, how come you didn't ask for help? She failed to realize, oh God, thank you. What was hard for her was easy for me. As she was struggling, trying to open the sweet and sour package, you're sitting there struggling, and you're exerting extra energy that you don't have to, when all you had to do is say, Daddy, I need you to help me open this sweet and sour package. And I would have came in there, and with one swoop would have had the thing open. Can I help somebody this morning? You're sitting there struggling. You're sitting there mad. You're sitting there angry. When all you have to do is say, Daddy, I need your help. This is too much for me to carry on my own. And don't you know, just like a good father, just like State Farm, God is always there. He will show up and do for you what is easy. He will do it because it's easy for him. Our crisis lasts longer than what they should because we simply won't get God involved. Let me ask this question this morning. Why have you stopped praying? Why have you stopped talking to God? Why? I know. Why have you stopped talking to God? Why have you stopped praying? Why have you stopped getting God involved? Why are you being so silent when you have so much trouble going on in your life? Why are you being so silent when you have so much pain going on? Why are you being so silent when there's so much that you need God to do in your life? And he's standing there ready and capable of helping you. And all you have to do is say, God, I need your help. Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, but he sought God, and God gave him a plan. Get everybody. Get everyone, every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Bring them down to the courtyard of the temple that we've dedicated to the Lord, and we're going to fast. And we're going to pray. Our needs ought to drive us to get God involved. Our needs ought to lead us to getting God involved. Here it is. We find God in the crisis when his greatness, oh God, help me this morning, directs our prayers. I love it. I like that. Because Jehoshaphat knew something about God. Yeah, he did. And because of what Jehoshaphat knew about God, it took over and it guided his prayer. Okay, y'all don't believe me. Let's look at verse 5. I told you, you got to keep the Bibles open here at the well. Look at verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. Let me stop right there. For him to make the reference and to say the God of our ancestors is to say you were there for mama, daddy, big mama, granddaddy. And the same God that was there for mama, daddy, Big Daddy and Grandma is the same God that has the same power from then to be able to help me right now. Okay, he keeps going. He says, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in the land when your people Israel arrived? So he's talking about God's power now. And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will rescue us. You will come and rescue us. You will show up and rescue us. I love the way that Jehoshaphat prays. He does not pray some helpless prayer. Oh God, well, if you are able to, I hope that you can. I think you can. I'm not really sure. I think you can show up. He prays to God because he has a relationship with God, and he has seen God work in his life before, and not just in his life. He's seen God move for mama. He's seen God move for daddy. So that's why, parents, don't hide your struggles from your kids. Let your kids know, yes, we have struggled financially. Yes, we have been homeless. Yes, we have been without hope. Yes, we've been in some jacked up situations. But in every moment that we had and everything that we have experienced, Jehovah Jireh has shown up every time. Jehovah El Shaddai, God Almighty, has shown up every time. Your kids need to see the power of God at work in your life. Your grandkids need to see the power of God at work in your life. Your great-grandkids need to know about the power of God showing up in your life. Because when I have a relationship with God and I have had experiences with God, it changes the way I pray. I don't pray to him as if I'm an orphan. I don't talk to him as if he's far away. But I come boldly to the throne of grace and say, the God of my ancestors, the God that drove out the enemy from the land that you already gave us, the greatness of God ought to shift the way that we pray. I've seen God do some stuff. And because I've seen God do some stuff, and I have lived through some experiences with God, when trouble comes, when I should panic, it becomes a trigger, and it reminds me, hey, don't freak out. Don't panic. You've seen God show up. When doctor says that you wouldn't have any children, and now you got two.
You'll have a testimony, sir. Come on.
When trouble comes up, I don't panic. It becomes a trigger. Here you are, 39 years old. You shouldn't even be here, but you are, and you're well, and you're good. The greatness of God and our experiences with God ought to direct our prayers so that when we pray, we're not praying some simple, low prayers, but we're praying big and we're praying bold because we have come in contact with the... Is there anybody in the house this morning, online or in person, that you know for yourself in your own life? I've experienced the greatness of God. I'm a living testimony by grace and mercy. I am here. I should not be here. I should be dead and gone. But it's God through his greatness and his power. Oh, y'all playing with me this morning. He has kept me from danger, seen and unseen. Cancer should have taken me out. Bullets should have kept me out. But by God, I am here today as a living witness of what God is able to do.
His greatness, his greatness. Oh, we ought to praise God for his greatness. Oh, we ought to raise the roof off of this place because of his greatness.
He says, whenever we're faced with calamity, woo!
such as war, plague, or famine. We can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear and rescue. Do you hear how he's praying? There's no hesitation in his prayer. He's not saying you might rescue us. You might show up. He says we can cry out to you and you will rescue us. You will save us. Greatness of God ought to direct. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What has happened in this new modern church today, that we've lost our awe of God. We've lost our reverence for God. We've lost the splendor of who God is. We've minimized his greatness to cars and houses and money. But when I go outside and I see a tree that's standing, I ought to be awestruck at the awesomeness of God. That the tree that is standing cannot drop a leaf unless he tells it to. That rain cannot come unless he says, rain, go.
Come on.
And that when he calls for the rain to stop, that it stops.
My God.
That the news people can only go so far in determining what the weather can be like. Because since he is the CEO of making the heavens and the earth, they can go to school and learn all that they can, but they will never be the CEO of the weather. Woo! That when I look up in the sky and I see the clouds and I see the rainbow, I ought to be awestruck at seeing how he in heaven can be able to divinely color the clouds. Whatever color he wants it to. That the awesomeness and the greatness of God is not predicated on you having a boo. It's not predicated on you having a promotion. It's all about him and the greatness of who he is. Can we celebrate? Can we celebrate the greatness of who God is? If he does not do anything else, it's fine. But the greatness of who he is. We find God, I'm about to go.
Come on, take your time, sir.
We find God in the crisis when our dependence on him precedes our prayers. There's some instructions that Jehoshaphat gives the people. And it sounds strange at the instructions that he gives the people after telling them that we have 2 to 3 great armies that have the power and the capacity to take us out. I mean, they have the power to literally destroy us. But look at what he says. Look at verse 13. I love this. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with the little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men sitting there. His name was Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, oh God.
This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I got to use my sanctified imagination. They're all standing there at the temple courts, probably hungry and about to pass out because they ain't ate. The Spirit of the Lord rests on Jehaziel. Jehaziel gets up with the word from the Lord. And he says, oh, King Jehoshaphat, the Lord told me to tell you and everybody in here, I know we have been terrified by the news of what we have received. But God messaged me on Facebook and said, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. But the battle is not ours, but it's God's. Oh, I ain't get no help on that one right there. I'm going to say it again. Jehaziel stood up amongst the people and had a word from the Lord as they were all together corporately. I know. We're in this next new church now where we do things hybrid and all of the other stuff. And I love it because we use every platform that we have the power and access to use. But there are some things that you can't get online. There are some atmospheres and experiences that you need to be there. I wish I could have been there, Mother Tessie, when Jehaziel rose up in front of everybody, Erica, and encouraged all the saints of God and said, hey, what you have been stressing about, what you have been worried about, what you have been anxious about, what you have been up all night about, this battle is not yours. But God already has this thing taken care of. Oh, my gosh. He said, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. You up against some stuff. You got stuff up against you. You got people up against you. You've been afraid to go into the week. You've been afraid for the next thing. But this thing is not your battle to fight. It belongs to the Lord. Now, okay, check out their response. Check out their response. Look at this. He says, tomorrow, verse 16, march out against them. You will find them coming from the Ascent of Zis at the end of the valley that opens the wilderness of Jeruah, but you will not need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat's response to what Jehaziel has said was to bow down and to worship. Wait a minute now. Pastor Swims, didn't you just say they got 2 to 3 great armies coming up against them? Yes. Didn't you just say that these armies have the power to be able to take them out? Yes. Pastor, and didn't you just read and say that Jehaziel tells them to go out in front of the people, to march out against them, and to stand still, and that as they're standing still, they're going to experience the victory of God? And Jehoshaphat's response to what Jehoshaphat's response to what the man of God has said was to bow down and to worship. Yes, that's what he did. Because get this, the battle was won in worship before they even went to battle. I said the battle was already won in worship before they went to battle. What are you saying, Pastor? Before you get ready to curse somebody out, I need you to worship. Before you want to go and pull out receipts to be able to get somebody really caught up, I need you to worship. Before you get the razor blade from underneath your tongue and your knife out your pocket, I need you to bow down and to begin to worship, because it is in my worship that I can win the battle before I even get out there, because it's in my worship that I set my heart and my affections on the Lord. And as I set my heart and my affections on the Lord, he reorientates my heart and turns my heart around from folks to put it on him. Jehoshaphat begins to worship. And when the people see their leader worship, they bow down and they worship. The greatness of God directed their prayers. And as a response to their prayers, they worship. As I was studying this, I like what one commentary said. Their prayer literally tells God, I trust you. Oh, God. And so as they told God, Elder James, that they trust him, they cast their cares down. And they bow down. And they worship. Okay. Pastor, what are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor? What are you saying? Your solution is in your worship.
That's it.
Your strategy is in your worship. The plan that you need is in your worship. That after I have allowed for the greatness of God to direct my prayers, my response after I have prayed is to be able to worship him. Okay, y'all still missed it. As a response to the prayers that I have prayed, my next action now is to worship. That I set my hopes and my heart on him, and that he takes center stage, because the man of God had already told, this ain't your fight, this ain't your battle. Stand still and you experience the victory of God. But now I need you to get in the right posture for victory. And the right posture, thank you Jesus, the right posture for victory is in worship. You arguing with people, shut your mouth and worship. You're fighting with people, stop and worship. You're trying to figure out, well, how they getting ahead and how they, they ain't none of your business. Worship. Because you can win the battle in worship before you even get to the battle. There are people in this room right now. You're in smack dab in the middle of a crisis. You have panicked. You have been overwhelmed with anxiety. You've been overwhelmed with worry and everything else. But you haven't gotten God involved. Oh, I take that back. You have gotten God involved, but you got him involved partially. Because you put deadlines on God. Okay, God, I'm trusting now. If you don't move by Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and send the email and the text, God, and believe you're going to anoint it. No, if he didn't tell you to do it, don't do it. Jehaziel told Jehoshaphat, you go out and you march against the people, but you stand there. No weapons, no swords, no guns.
You stand there and watch for God to give you the victory. And they submitted to what he said. They submitted to what Jehaziel said, and he was not the king. They adhered to the wisdom that Jehaziel gave, and he wasn't the leader. Are we sensitive enough that if God speaks through someone else that's not swims, that we can receive it? Jehoshaphat submitted to what Jehaziel said because he bowed down and he worshiped. His response to what they had prayed was to worship. Was to center their hearts and their hopes on him. Their response was to worship. And that worship was going to lead them to victory. I'm going to read this and I'm done. Look at it, y'all. Look, verse 18. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his head, with his face to the ground. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, sing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give God and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting against themselves. I tell you, the word makes me laugh at times. He told them, "Stand still, and you will experience God's victory." They get ready to go out. Jehoshaphat calls for Greta, Stacia, and Amber, and Jerian to go out in front of them. And as they're going out, they're playing and singing, giving thanks to God, as they're facing an army that has weaponry ready to take them out. And Jehoshaphat stops them and says, "If you trust the God that's in me, we about to see God be bad." And as they corporately open up their mouths, the armies that came up against them turned against each other. What kind of battle plan is that? That you send the praise team out, and as soon as they open their mouths corporately, this is why I don't be trying to push, because it's another level that we have to get to in praise and worship. That's why I'm always encouraging, open your mouth. I know. Oh, but Pastor, you always saying that. Oh, I'm an introvert. I can't hear that right now. Open your mouth, because corporately, when we come together, we serve as a problem to the enemy. And when you open your mouth, and 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 then you open your mouth, then you don't open up your mouth, and then you take off running, then you start shouting, and then you over there dancing, something begins to happen in the enemy enemy's camp because they're trying to figure out what we have set out against you. You should be scared. You should be terrified right now. But y'all done started singing. Y'all done started praising. Y'all talking about give thanks to the Lord for his love and doing. What's love got to do with this? We're in the middle of a battle and you're talking about love and the faithfulness of God. But when we open up our mouths corporately as a body of believers, we serve a threat to the I cannot be silent. I cannot be quiet because there's an enemy that's out there on the loose trying to take you out, destroy you, take you out. But I need somebody, I don't care how you may sound, how you, I need somebody to holler on my roll, because when you holler for me, it serves as a threat to the enemy. My praise becomes intercession. My holler becomes intercession. I can't be quiet. I can't be silent, because the more I get God's attention, the more God gets involved in this. Ooh. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And something happens. 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 When you begin to open up your mouth, it shifts some things around. Oh, God, so that when you begin to open up your mouth, it changes the plans of the enemy. That when you begin to open up your mouth, something goes out, and what was trying to come up against you can't come up against you because somebody opened up their mouth and said something. Woo! I can't be quiet. I can't be silent. I can't be quiet. I can't be silent. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know who your praise is working on behalf of. You don't know who your worship is working on behalf of. I can't hear nobody. I say, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know how your worship and your praise is interceding for somebody. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what your holler is doing for some. You don't know what your dance is doing for. You don't know what your run is doing. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. I can't be quiet. I can't be silent. I can't be quiet. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Open your mouth. Come on, you're making intercession right now. Open your mouth. It's better when we do it together. It's better when we do it together. It's better when we do it together. Come on, come on. You're making, those watching on YouTube, watching on Facebook, you're making intercession right now. Come on, don't go mute on me right now. Come on, come on. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Come on, come on, come out of yourself. Come on, come out of yourself. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Come on, we're making intercession. Woo! Oh, God. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, stir it up, stir it up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Build your endurance. Come on. Build your endurance. Come on. Build your endurance. Come on. Come on, build your endurance. Come on, build your endurance. Woo, God, help me today. Come on, build your endurance. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, open up your mouth. Come on and worship. Come on and magnify him. Come on and lift him up. You don't know. You don't know what chains are being broken. You don't know what healing is taking place. You don't know what breakthrough. Open your mouth. Woo. Lord, 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 Lord. Come on. come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Open your mouth, 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 open your mouth. Come on, come on, come on, come on, open up your mouth. Come on, come on, come on, open up your mouth, open your mouth. My, 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 my. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Woo, my, 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 my. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Hallelujah. 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 He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our Holy Redeemer. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Rapha. Oh, he is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is the soon coming King. He does sit at the right hand of the Father. Come on and worship him. Come on and worship him. Come on and worship. Come on and worship. Come on and worship, 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 worship. Woo! My, 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 my. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be terrified. You don't have to be discouraged, for this battle is not yours. Ooh. It's not yours. It's not yours. It's not yours. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. Come on and worship. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, God. My, 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 oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Ooh, that's it, that's it. Don't let the fire die out. Don't let the fire die out. Don't let the fire die out. Hallelujah. 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 That residue from Wednesday night is in here now. Hallelujah. 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 My, 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 my. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 My, my, my. My, my, my. Hallelujah. 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 You can win the battle in worship before you even get to the battle. As you get ready to start this new week, you can win this week in worship. What you're worried about, turn your worries into worship. What you're anxious about, turn your anxiety into worship. What you're annoyed about, turn your annoyance into worship.
Turn your worries, your cares into worship. Turn it 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 into worship. That story in the Bible about the woman with the alabaster box, that when she came to clean the feet of Jesus, she bowed down and her tears turned into a water system that she used to wash his feet, and her hair became a towel. I love it, because as she came to Jesus, people looked at her crazy. What are you doing here? Because by the talk of the community, she was a nasty woman. So she shouldn't have been one. And Jesus welcomed her, and she wiped his feet with her hair. And I know people probably looked at her and said, girl, you're doing too much. But can I tell you something? Thank you, Juice. If ain't nobody going to help me preach, everything in my God's son going to help me do it every week. Sometimes it's take all of that and then a little bit of extra. I'm going to say it again. I said, sometimes it takes all of that and a little bit more. Because don't nobody know like you know what you've had to go through to get to where nobody knows like you and God know what it takes to walk in your shoes for an hour. No one knows. They see you showing up on Sundays looking cute. They don't know what you have to deal with Monday through Saturday. They don't know. They don't know all that you have going on in the background. You don't know. So when I scream, when I holler, when I run, when I dance, don't say nothing to me. Because you push me too far, I'll clear out my whole row. Because you don't know. 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 And worship and praise keeps me sane so that I can stay in my right mind and not call a pastor from Jackson County. You don't know. You don't know what it cost. You don't know the price I've paid. You don't know the hits I take. You don't know. You don't know. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So because you don't know my story, keep your mouth off my praise and my worship. Because you don't know. You don't know. There's someone watching online right now, Facebook.